Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Today we continue our sermon series, What the Bible Says About Leadership. This fall we have been exploring this topic. In the first five messages we looked at principles from the Old Testament that are applicable for us today. And over the last few weeks we've been looking at what the New Testament says about leadership in the church, and we've learned some very important things. First of all, we ask the question, what is the purpose of leadership in the church? And we learn the purpose of leadership is to train and equip God's people to serve. We called those leaders player coaches. They're in the game but have an additional responsibility to train and equip God's people to serve. And the Apostle Paul says this is what builds up the church. When everybody is using their gifts, talents, and abilities to serve the one true and living God, this builds the church. In the second message, we looked at the structure of the New Testament church. And you know, you look around today and you see churches that are structured in a lot of different ways, but we're concerned about what God's Word says. And we learned very clearly there's a three-tier structure. First of all, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the head of the church, and He calls the shots. And through the apostles that he designated to plant the churches, everywhere they planted churches, they appointed elders or shepherds whose responsibility was to lead and feed the flock, to train and equip them to serve God, and to protect and correct. And underneath the leadership of the shepherds were the diakonos, the deacons, or the ministry leaders, those who serve. And these leaders were to lead in specific areas of service under the direction of the elders or shepherds. Then we took a look at who are the shepherds, and we learned that Paul used three words interchangeably to describe who the shepherds are. Presbyteros, from which we get our English word Presbyterian, means men with mature experience who are both older and wiser. Episkopos, from which we get our English word episcopal, men who give oversight and are responsible for the church family. And this third word that is so descriptive of the role, poimen, which meant men who shepherd the church family. And we learn that the shepherds have a ministry that is characterized by these things. It's pastoral in nature. It's shared responsibility. There's not a one-man show. It is male leadership, it is qualified leadership, and it is servant leadership. And we learned about the character of the shepherds last week. This is about having a life above reproach. It's not perfect, but it's a life that's on trajectory to being more and more like Christ. A person to serve as a shepherd exhibits good leadership in the home, has the ability to teach and defend the faith, and has Spirit-given motivation. And we talked about in many churches, people are elected to a position, and we hope they'll work out. But we talked about the better way to do it is in this way, to recognize people that the Holy Spirit is raising up to serve. And today we want to shift gears and talk about the role of the ministry leaders. Again, this is the Greek word diakonos, from which we get our English word deacons. The first time this is used in the New Testament is going to describe the heart of a servant. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 6. If you'd like to follow along in a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 879. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7. If you've been with us in this series, this may sound familiar because some of these accounts cover some of the same material. But today we want to look specifically what this passage says about the role of the diakonos or ministry leaders. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So we see here there was a little bit of a crisis that was created with all of these people that had come into the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They heard this new message about Jesus the Messiah, and they stayed longer than they intended to. Their money ran out, and so there were people that needed food, and they needed a place to stay, and so they started accumulating resources. But some of the people were getting neglected in the daily distribution of food, and it was the Greek-speaking widows. So the people came to the apostles and said, "You got to do something about this." And the apostles know that they have to stay focused on the preaching and teaching and prayer. They have a mission. And so what do? They delegate responsibility. That was one of our principles we learned from the Old Testament, and we see it being used here in the New Testament. They delegated the responsibility to others. So they actually even delegated the responsibility to choose the people to serve. They said, "You choose 7 to serve." And when they said, "Choose the 7 to serve," they used the word diakonos. Again, the Greek word from which we get the word deacon. And the word deacon meant one who serves. It meant one who ministers. It meant one who waits tables. Now, some of you may have waited tables at some point in the early part of your career, and you know that that is not particularly a glamorous role, but that's what diakonos is. It's about humbly serving others in order to meet a need. And so as these people were chosen, the apostle said, these people need to be well-respected, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. They had to be godly people. And so they chose these 7 men. Now see if you remember this from an earlier message. All 7 of these names have one thing in common. It's not apparent on the surface, but does anybody remember? They're all Greek names. Why were Greek men chosen to meet this need? Because the Greek widows were being ignored in the daily distribution of food, so these guys would make sure to get the job done. So these were the first diakonos. I like to call them servant leaders or ministry leaders. It was the idea that a specific need arose, and the apostles had plenty of things to do with the preaching and teaching and prayer, and they said, "We can't be distracted from that, so we're going to delegate responsibility to those who would serve in this ministry." So as we think about leadership in the New Testament church, again, I'll say this, many of us probably grew up in churches where we considered leadership positions to be an office. And again, we borrow this idea from our government because we like to vote and elect people to serve in an office, right? But as we've talked about throughout this series, many times people get a little power and it's no longer about serving others, it's about serving themselves. But in the church, leadership is not about an office. I'd like to challenge our thinking that it's more about a function. It's more about a job that fulfills a purpose. And so as we think about diakonos, ministry leaders, servant leaders, I want us to think about it in this way. Let's remember that we have this three-tiered set of leaders in the New Testament church. Jesus the head, shepherds who lead and feed, train and equip, protect and correct the flock. But there is another level of leaders, the diakonos, who lead in specific areas of service under the leadership of the shepherds. And that's what we want to talk about today. So why are ministry leaders needed? It's so that the shepherds can stay focused on their primary responsibilities of leading and feeding, training and equipping, protecting and correcting. Just like the apostle said, we can't be distracted by running a food program. Now, it's important that people get fed, and we need to make an accommodation for that, but we can't do it, so we're going to delegate responsibility. And in the same way, shepherds in churches today can't be distracted, so they often will appoint ministry leaders. So let's talk about the characteristics of this role of diakonos, or ministry leaders. First of all, someone that serves in a role like this is meeting a specific need. It's not about filling an office, but it's about meeting a specific need. You need to find people that are passionate about meeting that need. That's again why the Greek men were chosen, to make sure the Greek widows were not neglected in the daily distribution of food. It might even be a need that you are gifted to meet, and it certainly needs to be a need that you are available to meet. There are a lot of times people will see there's a need, but they don't have availability to meet it. There's sometimes when people say, well, I see this need, but I don't know how to do it. But when we're looking for people to lead different ministries that meet specific needs, we need to find people who are passionate about it, who are gifted, and who are available. It's also important to understand that some ministries may be permanent in nature. For instance, since we meet weekly, we have people that serve on our worship team. We have Joy and Mary Lou that help lead the song part of the service. We have several others who help with prayer, with communion meditations, and even serving. These are ministries that are more permanent in nature, and so we have a more permanent ministry there. But some ministries are temporary. They only might happen for a time until that need is met, and some ministries might be intermittent. For instance, we have some people that will help clear the driveway when the white stuff comes, but we don't need that every week. But when we need it, it's important, isn't it? And we need to have things done. So it's important to realize that some needs are permanent, some are temporary, some are intermittent. Another thing about the characteristics of the role of ministry leaders is this is a team-oriented ministry. Notice the apostles didn't appoint one person to take care of distributing the food. It was a team effort. So somebody who serves in this role needs to have the ability to lead others in ministry. They have to have the ability to work well as a teammate with others in ministry. And they also need to have the ability to encourage and inspire others in ministry. Sometimes we need to recruit people to be a part of the team. And so all of these things are important as we consider this is a team-oriented ministry. We're going to do this together. A third characteristic of the role of ministry leaders is there are both men and women that can serve in these roles. Now the example in Acts chapter 6, it was all men. But there are other examples throughout the New Testament in which women were seen in these roles as well. Since we're more familiar with some of the examples of men, I want to roll you through some of the examples of women serving in this kind of ministry. So check this out. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, we read, "There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha," which in Greek is Dorcas. "She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor." And I would imagine if she found a need that was more than she could handle herself, she probably brought some friends along to help, right? In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, this is when Peter escaped from jail by the angels that freed him. When Peter realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where they were gathered for prayer. And as we read the book of Acts, we don't know anything about John Mark's dad. Maybe he had passed, maybe he just wasn't involved, but his mom opened the home for prayer meetings, for church, and man, she really served the people in the church there. It was amazing. In Acts 16, verses 13 to 15, it says, "On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank, where we thought people would be meeting for prayer, and we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guest. 'If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my home.'" Here was a businesswoman in the community who was following God. She came out to pray down by the riverbank with others, and she was receptive to the message that Paul preached, and she also became very hospitable and was probably a significant leader in her church. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, look at this. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Kenchia. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me." So here we see the specific reference to a woman named Phoebe who is a diakonos. Now, don't freak out. It just means servant, okay? She was a servant. And so we see that this term is used with both men and women. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, Paul writes, "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they have worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life." So again, another statement about these two women who were co-workers with Paul. Another characteristic of the role of ministry leaders is people who serve in this role should be qualified. We saw that in our scripture reading this morning. Choose seven who are well-respected and who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. We also see in 1 Timothy 3:10, "Let them," speaking of the diakonos, "let them also first be tested, then let them serve if they are blameless." So again, it's not just a willy-nilly picking of somebody to have this responsibility, but these are people who are qualified. And the final mark of the characteristics of the role of ministry leaders is kind of like what we talked about with the shepherds. It's a servant leadership role. It's not about getting a position of authority and then pushing people or bossing people around, telling them what to do. It is servant leadership. And this comes again from the words of Jesus in Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, when the disciples were arguing about who was going to be first in the kingdom. And Jesus said to them, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be leader among you must also be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave." And then here's his reason. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." You know, Jesus is God's Son. If anybody could have come and expected to be served by everyone else, it would have been him. But because Jesus came to serve, he put that aside, for he came with purpose. And so these are the characteristics of people who serve in the role of ministry leaders. Their ministry meets a specific need. It's a team-oriented ministry. It's composed of both men and women. people who are qualified to do the ministry, and it's a servant leadership role. These are all things that are important to remember as we are building leaders here in our church family. So, my challenge for you today is simply this. This may be different from what you grew up learning because of the culture of a particular church, but as we are trying to read and follow what God's Word says, my challenge for you is to accept God's plan that's revealed in His Word for the role of ministry leaders. After all, this is His church. We need to do what He says. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank You so much for Your Word and the things that we've been reading today to understand more about the role of diakonos, those who serve and minister to the needs of others. We thank You, Lord, that You've provided this example from Acts chapter 6 and in other verses that we've read today that help us understand that there is a specific role for people to lead different ministries. Even though the apostles knew that they couldn't be distracted by running a food program, they knew it was an important need to meet. And so how did they do it? They delegated responsibility. And Father, there's a lot of things that need to be done around here. Some of the things are ministries within our church family, and some of them are ministries in the community. And Father, I pray that as we are taking a closer look at Your plan for leadership, and as You are raising up leaders to serve here, we just pray, Father, that You'll help us to accept Your structure and Your purpose and the characteristics that You've assigned for these ministry roles. We thank You that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we thank You that He's the head of the church. And because He's the head and because we love Him, we strive to follow His lead. We thank You for the ministry of the shepherds, and we've talked for a couple of weeks about how important that role is in leading and guiding and feeding the flock and training and equipping and protecting and correcting. But Father, we also thank You for this tier of leadership of diakonos, the ministry leaders. And we just pray, Father, that You'd help us as we raise up people to serve in different ministries in our church family, that they would be the people that would meet the needs and share Your Word in the way that would honor and glorify Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
Well, I've been turned round, but I've never been lost. Seen the water get troubled, but we walked across. When my knees were shaking, You held my hand.